Friends, if you would like, you could turn your hymnals to page 117 again, if you'd like to follow along. The sermon text is in that Psalm 139b, and happens to be that second block of verse below the refrain. The refrain contains part of this. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. That's Psalm 139, verse 14. Here's a daring comparison. Do you know that you have something in common with Evel Knievel? Evel Knievel broke something like 430 bones by 1975. Doing all of his stunts, doing all of his tricks, and I'll let you do the math. There's 206 bones in the human body, so that means many of them perhaps were broken more than once. Some of them quite often. But his real name was Robert Craig Knievel. And Robert didn't actually die from breaking himself in his stunts. He was almost 70, and it was a liver disease, somewhat unrelated to all of those broken bones. Isn't that marvelous? Isn't that amazing? That someone who named himself Evel, he took on that name, is someone who risked his life for a living, for fame, for the glory. This was someone that God continued to heal, someone God kept on healing over and over and over again. I find that remarkable. I find that a reason to praise God. Today we come before God to praise Him for the fact that we are made fearfully and wonderfully. And those are King David's words, not necessarily Evel Knievel's. But I think we can all relate to that. And we can ask questions about that. Because people are still searching for how fearful and how wonderful our human bodies are. I have a few facts here. Our skeletal system is pure art and architecture. The hardest bone in the body. You know what that is? It's the mandible, the jawbone, capable of 290 pounds of pressure. The human body is wonderful from the smallest bone, the stirrup in our ears, to the biggest one, the femur in our legs. From the most fragile in our feet to the most clustered in our hands. There are just shy of 700 named skeletal muscles, and they're still discovering new variations, if you can believe that. There are 37 trillion blood cells in your body. I can't even imagine that number, 37 trillion. And there are 100 billion nerve cells in our bodies. I can't really imagine that, but apparently if you unfolded them and put them side to side lengthwise, it would wrap around the world more than twice. Our nerves do that. Here's a scary fact, a fearful fact. The acid in your stomach is capable of dissolving razor blades. Here's another one that might be even scarier, depending on who you are. The average adult human head loses 70 strands of hair every day. That may or may not be more scary. Here's a scary one for germaphobes. There are 32 million bacteria on every inch of skin. And now, with facts like this, you can confidently say, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You can also confidently say that you know God's wonderful works full well. Now, literally, this passage in the Hebrew is hard to translate. We would maybe say it this way in a better translation. I praise you that by fearful things, I am made wonderful. The sense here is that there are a lot of different things in our body. Skin, tissue, we've got muscles, we've got bones, we've got all these different things. And professionals and students in the medical field can tell you how fearful it is at times to study those things and to work with them. But you take those fearful things together and you put them together in a human body, and it really is something absolutely incredible, something marvelous and wonderful. And for that, we praise God. But is that enough? Is it enough to marvel at the human body and to praise God? Is it enough to cram my little 3-pound brain, that's an average size, that's not just me, that looks like this? I'm told that if you put your fists together like this, that's about the size of your brain, if you want to visualize it. Protected by 22 bones in the skull, capable of 1,000 terabytes of information, with all kinds of neurons firing, is it enough to take that and praise God? God tells us there's actually something more than just head knowledge. There's something else that's going on when it comes to our fearfully and wonderfully made bodies. And that something wonderful is actually our conscience. It's one of the most amazing parts of God's creation of us. It tells us what to do and what not to do. It shows us when we've failed and maybe when we've done some things right. It even tells us we're accountable to a higher moral power. This is inescapable. In the same psalm, King David asked God, "See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." We know the Lord is a perfect judge. He allows no sinner into his presence without some kind of compensation for their sin. He demands perfection. He expects holiness in and outside of our bodies. And he expects more than praise. The fact of the matter is, I could never praise him enough. Sometimes I find the wording remarkable in the Bible. There's that song in Revelation. We said something like it before in our service, that God is worthy of our praise. Talk about an understatement. God is worthy of our praise. No, I'm unworthy of having praise on my lips because of who I am and how God really ought to judge me. And we see the effects of that sin. The effects of that sin in our own bodies. When we see how our bodies, as meticulously crafted and as sophisticated as they are, meet their own failings because of sin. Someone's diagnosed with cancer, diabetes, heart disease. Find a cavity, break a bone. Why would this happen? I thought our bodies were fearfully and wonderfully made. It's because of sin. How can God allow things into my life? Well, there is this thing called sin in the world that God has seen and has judged, and no one has been found innocent. And that's why there's consequences for this sin. Not always directly related to our own specific actions. No, we can't sit there and blame Job for all the bad things that happened to him. That wasn't the point of that book of the Bible, and that's not always the point of the diseases and distresses and the breakings that God puts into our lives and into our bodies. But we do know that sin is the reason why things have gone wrong. God has made that clear. We also know we're not stuck in these bodies forever. Things are going to change when we are with God. We have evidence that our existence and our abilities are really no mystery. It's not just, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Isn't that nice? And it's not just a selfish look at the Bible saying, mirror, mirror in the book, isn't it great how good I look? Instead, it's glory to God. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, for that I praise him. All credit is given this direction. It's not here. This is where sin permeates and persists. No, all glory, all praise, all thanks are directed upward to that higher moral power. He hasn't left us to wonder what he's up to. There's more to learn. He instead tells us about himself and what he's done. He's revealed himself. He's given himself names of power, and he's shown those names to us. A name like Elohim, which refers to God's almighty and awesome power. A name like Yahweh or Jehovah, that talks about God's free and faithful love, the God who is because he is, the name that he gave to Moses to tell the Israelites, I am who I am, the name that Jesus repeated throughout the book of John, I am the bread of life, I am the water of life, I am he who is speaking to you, so on and so forth. That is the great I am. So what we're driving at today is not just the fact that God has taken his time to mold us and make us out of clay, out of air, out of a rib, but the fact that God has not only created us, but he goes to work for us. God protects us. God loves us. God sponsors us through this life. He's our witness. Times when the devil tries to convict us, there is our God defending us, and even more than that. But when sin entered the world, God offered us a remarkable promise that he would step into our world in time to assume one of these incredible bodies for himself. Our Savior, Jesus Christ, whose body grew strong and wise, he used his body in times of miracle, in times of strength and encouragement and unconditional love. And then he sacrificed and submitted his body to death. And then he showed himself in this same material, physical body, resurrected to people who needed to see it, to know that his wonderful works are something worth knowing, as something that they could know full well. The chief praise in this psalm may seem like it's for our bodies or for something God has worked in us, but really the chief praise in this psalm is for God, for the Father who's created us, for the Son who's redeemed us, for the Holy Spirit who's sanctified us. It goes on, he says, his works are wonderful. I know that full well. The Hebrew word in this sentence is literally ma'od. Ma'od. They talk with different kind of sounds and utterances than we do, but I'd like you to repeat that after me. Ma'od. On the count of three. One, two, three. Ma'od. Here it means full well. It's also used in another place twice. A place where God floods the whole world and the waters rise up beyond the mountains. The word there, ma'od, ma'od. It's kind of funny when you're first studying Hebrew and you come across that because the word literally means muchness. So it rained muchness, muchness. But that's just not how we would say it. So it rained a lot is basically the idea that's being conveyed. And that's how much God wants us to know him. Ma'od. Why am I back here at church Sunday after Sunday? Some of our teens and 20-somethings may be asking. So that you know God full well. So that you can know him ma'od. Why would I ever come to Bible class? Maybe some adults are wondering. So that you know God full well. So that you know him ma'od. At Sunday school, maybe there are some things, children, we don't want to do. Why would we do that? So that you know God full well. So you know him ma'od. Why does pastor have to talk about the Hebrew? So that you can know God full well. So you can know him ma'od. And it's the vehicle I decided to use to convey that fact. There's a lot to learn when it comes to God. And when we're not sure, we're also reminded that his knowledge of us is greater than our knowledge of him. I'll give you an example. King David doesn't just say, we have an omniscient, all-powerful, all-wise God. He doesn't just use those theological terms. He expresses it. He says things like this, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in this secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. These are not God in the abstract. These are a God who knows our past, our present, and our future. He's expressive about how much he knows and how much he loves us and cares for us. So, Christians, know full well that God loves you. Know that it's okay to admit sometimes we don't know exactly how much God loves me, but I have more to learn. Know full well that it's okay to ask questions of God. Know that it's okay, full well, that God desires to know you personally. Know full well that God knows your worries, and He knows you way more than we ever thought He possibly could. I say this because people get lost in their sin. And sometimes you have people attacking their own body. And people who look at this and say, I don't know how to praise God because I really don't think that God has made me very well. I'm too tall. I'm too short. I'm too thick. I'm too thin. I don't chase after things. There are things going on in my head right now that I can't explain. I have psychological problems. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not fast enough. I'm not strong enough. I don't believe enough. I don't have enough heart. I'm not a good enough father. The body God's given me isn't enough. Brothers and sisters, that's a temptation of the devil. It's something God doesn't want you to think. He doesn't want you to go around wondering why your ears are too big, or why your complexion is bad, or why your skin isn't dark enough, or why you're just not popular. No, don't forget that King David was the runt of his family. Don't forget that Zacchaeus was a shorty. Don't forget that St. Paul, who started so many churches, was tongue-tied and had trouble seeing. Don't forget that God has made you the way He has intended. He's chosen you out of a world that tells you that you should be this way, that you should be smart, you should be clever, you should be tall, you should be just right. And God has put you into His kingdom of marvelous light. He's made you the way He has intended. And when our bodies weren't enough, we have a Savior's body we can count on, who walked on water. When we didn't know enough, we had a boy Jesus who could teach his parents and teach law professors in the temple. When things weren't enough for us, when people cut and mangled and risked God's gift of their own bodies, Jesus did not. And when it came to suffering, no one knows bodily suffering more than our Savior Jesus, who went to the cross for the punishment of our sins. You really couldn't be more plain and ordinary than Jesus, who was made so that there was nothing in Him that we should find something special in Him. And that brings fear and wonder. Praise Him. He's brought you to faith. Praise Him. He sent His Spirit into your heart. Praise Him. He's given you the name Father, Son, and Holy Spirit through your baptism. Praise Him. He invites you to the sacrament now and often. Praise Him. Before Evel Knievel said goodbye to the last person who ever interviewed him, he talked about how he found God. It was a few months before, in a hotel room in Daytona Beach. Evel Knievel said that God spoke to him in this plain, ordinary place. He says, "All my life I was an atheist." These are his words. "I'd tell people I didn't believe Jesus could walk on water. Then something happened in Daytona. God spoke to me. He said, 'Robert, you got to stop telling people you don't believe in Him. I've been taking care of you for years, watching over you. I've done everything for you, and you go tell people you don't believe in me. You got to stop it.'" At this point, the interviewer says, Evel Knievel put his hands over his face, and he sobbed. He said, "I told God I'd never insult Him ever again." Even someone who knew the wonders and frailties of his human body, even someone who risked his body day in and day out, who tested and tempted God, could be turned around and praise God. For those of us who have lived a quieter life, maybe fewer risks, we have the Word of God more certain. Not just a suggestion of a voice, not just the fact that our bodies are fearfully and wonderfully made. We have the gospel in word and sacrament. We praise God because He has made Himself known. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. We know that full well. Amen.